And this morning, I wanted to actually reasonably briefly turn us to a psalm. So if you've got a Bible in front of you, now's the time to turn to Psalm 46. And just praying for this morning, praying for you as a church, praying for our time together this morning. We want to continue to encounter the Lord Jesus, don't we, this morning. I felt God put this psalm on my heart to look at in the next 20, 25 minutes or so. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Let's read. Why don't I read what we've got here? Can I do this? Is that right? Am I doing it down there? Wonderful. Psalm 46 starts by saying, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. This psalm starts by talking about a sea of chaos. It's the first thing we read when we read the beginning of this psalm. We read of a sea causing chaos. But it starts by saying, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. That's the starting point. That's a good starting point, isn't it? For every day of our lives, that's a great starting point. He's an ever-present help in trouble. Theologians like to talk about the omnipresence of God, that he is everywhere. He is ever-present. The divine is involved in every part of the universe and of our lives. He is everywhere, unlike us. How many of us love to be in two places at the same time? We all like that, don't we? And that's not possible. God can be. He is omnipresent, but it doesn't stop there. He's an ever-present help. It's not just a neutral presence. He is an ever-present help with us, his people, an ever-present help in all circumstances. When life is really straightforward and unchanging and rather predictable, he's an ever-present help. And when things are difficult and complicated and changing, he's an ever-present help. And we need him to be an ever-present help because of the two verses that follow. There's a sea roaring. The psalmist talks about the chaos of our universe, the earth, the mountains, the sea. In biblical times, the sea was generally seen as a place of chaos and fear and danger. The Israelites were scared of the sea. The surrounding nations were fearful of the sea. Seas can be dangerous, can't they? If you're a parent or a grandparent and you've taken kids to the sea, yeah. You have that moment, whether it's the five-year-old who's just running off and you're chasing them, or the 10-year-old who really wants to give it a go, going through those waves. Or the 18-year-old who's just super confident, knows exactly what they're doing and doesn't need help, but you're still watching them very sharply, aren't you? Where's that current going to come from? Seas can be dangerous. Look at these three things. Look at the bottom picture there. That is from the 10th of March earlier this year. A container ship called the Solong collided with an oil tanker called the Stena Immaculate, which was an anchor on the North Sea off the coast of East Yorkshire. The Solong, a Portuguese ship flagged out of Madeira, was carrying alcohol. Not the best thing to be carrying when you collide. There were several explosions, both vessels caught fire and were abandoned. 36 people were rescued, one was hospitalized and one was missing, presumed dead. Seas are dangerous places, aren't they? Look at that friendly animal on the right. There was a surfer recently survived a terrifying shark attack off Kangaroo Island. That's just the ultimate name for an Australian island, isn't it? A renowned tourist and surfing spot on South Australia's southern coast, managing to drive himself to hospital after being bitten twice on the leg. So despite suffering two serious leg wounds, the victim managed to make his way back to the shore, like being after being attacked twice by a shark, reach his car, drive himself to hospital, hope he had an automatic car, for urgent medical attention. Seas are dangerous places. There's the RNLI. Rescued over 150,000 people in their 200-year history. Recently, they said of the last year, or the year before last, 2023, they'd helped 30,713 people last year. They'd save 355 lives. I know we're in Stroud. I know I've come from Whitney. We're about as far away from the sea as you can be in England, can't you? I lived in Brussels for many years. It's about also about as far away as you can get from the sea. The sea is a dangerous place. And actually, when you go through the Bible, the sea is seen as a dangerous place. Think of Noah, right at the beginning, just a few chapters into the Bible. The waters rise, and he survives, but actually it causes destruction elsewhere. You jump through to the book of Exodus. People leave Egypt through the Red Sea. They get the other side, the Egyptians don't. It's a place of destruction. You look through the scriptures, you get this mysterious creature called a Leviathan. He's like the Loch Ness Monster of the Bible. He comes up every now and then in different bits of the Old Testament. It's a slightly mysterious creature. People were afraid of what's out there in the sea. Think of poor old Jonah, most famous one of all. Poor guy ends up in the sea, in a whale. The sea in the scriptures are a place of fear and anxiety and chaos and danger. The sea is unpredictable, like our lives, yeah? Are sometimes unpredictable. So the sea of chaos is what we're introduced to in this chapter. But then we meet a river of life. There is a river, says the psalmist, whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her, the city, at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There's a sea of chaos, and there's also a river of life. The river that brings all sorts of wonderful things. It's a river that brings joy. We read here that the river brings streams that make glad the city of God. Is there an amen in the house? The river of God brings joy. That's a good thing. The river of God brings God's presence. God dwells in this city, and the river runs through where God is dwelling. The river brings peace. The river brings peace, whereas the sea brings chaos. Did you notice the word fall coming a few times here? Verse 2, it says that the mountains fall. Verse 6 says the nations are in uproar and the kingdoms fall. Verse 5, though, the city of God will not fall. The city of God that has that river running through it will not fall. We don't need to live in fear or worry if we're living in the river of God. The river of God is a place of peace. 1,000 years or so later, Jesus comes along and says these verses. In the city of Jerusalem, he says, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within him. Oh, there's a river that comes from Christ and goes through us. By this, John said, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in were later to receive. Up to that point, the Spirit hadn't yet been given. Jesus comes along and says, oh, this river is here now because the Spirit of God is here. And it's a river that brings peace and joy and God's presence. It's also a river that brings adventure. I'm not convinced this river of God is a calm, gentle little brook. Is it the river Frome? Have I got that right? What's the river going through Stroud? It's the Frome, isn't it? It's not exactly a torrent of waterfalls and... River of God brings peace, but also adventure. 3 years ago, 2022, there was a woman in Iran who refused to wear her hijab, her head covering, and went out onto the streets. And she was arrested by the Iranian police, and she was put in prison. The following day, she was dead. In the days, the weeks to follow, different Iranians were on the streets of Iran, or streets of Tehran, other cities, protesting. How could this happen to this woman? Why has she been killed? Why couldn't she express her freedom? And it looked for a minute as if Iran was going to maybe enter a bit of a, oh, a kind of an uprising, and opening, an uprising against the authorities. But no, quickly clamped upon. Protesters were put in prison, including one young man who I'm going to call, it's not his real name, I'm going to call Abdul. Abdul was put in prison because he'd protested at the death of this woman. And Abdul spent a month in prison in the north of Iran. And he was beaten and he was tortured and he was mistreated. And after a month, he was booted out of prison. But just before he went, the authorities said to him, hey, before you go, you've got to sign a piece of paper that says you are not going to do any more protesting and that you are not going to put anything on social media that could be any at all critical to the regime. Abdul signs the piece of paper. Jump forward a couple of years, earlier this year, 2025, and Iran and Israel are having fun sending missiles back and forth to each other a few months ago. And Abdul is cross. And a bit foolishly, he takes his mobile phone and he goes back on social media and he says something on his social media account. A couple of days later, he's out, he's not at home, and there's a knock at the door, probably a lot firmer than that. And his family open the door and they say, hey, hey, where's Abdul? Where is he? And he's not at home, genuinely not at home. Secret police leave. They get on the phone to Abdul straight away and say, hey, you've got to flee. You've got to run. You've got to get out of the country. The secret police are onto you. This is a true story. Abdul gets his wife. Abdul's like mid-20s, his wife a little bit younger. And they get into a car and the parents give them some money and they find some people smugglers who will get them across the border into Turkey and across Europe. And this couple spend the next 3 weeks going across Europe and eventually find themselves in the city of London. In August, a couple of months ago. And they go to a hotel in London and they're staying there. First day they arrive, they wake up the next morning, their body is covered in marks from bed bugs from the hotel in London. And the pictures of the bed are awful and it's absolutely disgusting. And they go and speak to the people in charge and they speak calmly and kindly and they speak to the hotel manager. And the hotel manager pauses after a while and says, I'm just used to people like you speaking to us rudely and shouting and distressed. You are speaking so kindly to us. I'm going to help you. A couple of days later, he calls them and says, we're moving you. We've got a different place for you to stay. You're going to stay in a little town called Whitney. There's a hotel that you can stay there and you'll be more comfortable there. We'll help you. So they do that. They arrive there, end of August 2025. While this is all going on, about a year or so ago, a couple of years ago, there's a couple who used to live in Spain, spent 20 years living in Spain, in Spanish life, serving the Lord there, moved back to live in Whitney, in England. And one day that the wife is walking through the streets of Whitney, a bit sad that she's not in Spain anymore and not talking Spanish anymore. And Whitney, is that really the center of the world? And as she's walking down the street, she hears some people speaking Spanish. And this lady lives in the River of God. Something in her says, go and talk to those people. So she goes up to them. She speaks Spanish to them. And she says, oh, hi, I heard you speaking Spanish. Where are you from? Oh, I've spent years living in Spain. I love Spain. And she gets talking to them. And it's a couple from Colombia, which is also where this lady used to live when she was 20 years old, who are living in this hotel, asylum hotel in Whitney. And this lady says, oh, I'd love to get to know you. I'd love to be able to speak Spanish again. And so she goes across to the hotel. And you add about a couple of years or 18 months, and actually this lady goes to this hotel two or three times a week and just loves people who are there and listens to them and helps them. And she's there at the end of August 2025 when she sees a couple who she's not seen before who walk in. And she goes up to speak to them and Abdul says, ah, yeah, we've come from Iran and this is our story. And by the way, we're not really Muslims. In fact, most people in Iran aren't really. We've rejected Islam. can you tell us about the God of your country? Lady says, yes, yes, I can. End of the conversation. She says, can I pray for you? She prays for this couple. Never met a Christian in their lives, let alone be prayed for by a Christian. That's on Friday. 2 days later, this Iranian couple is sitting on the front row of our church. And I'm preaching on tithing. This couple, who obviously haven't quite understood that when you're guests, often you come in at the back and you just observe, but they're in the front row, watching, listening. Earlier on in this week, this couple were actually in our home and they were listening to a video. They were watching Nikki Gumbel tell them about why Jesus died and how the New Testament's actually really reliable. They're doing our Alpha course. We'll see where they get to. They've rejected Islam. They haven't yet accepted Christ. Why are they in our house? Well, because God's an amazing God of providence and sovereignty. And it goes way over my head. And he uses people who choose to live in the river of God. If this friend of mine in Whitney wasn't living in the river, she wouldn't have responded to someone speaking Spanish by, yeah, I'll speak to them, Lord. She wouldn't have said, given her time and effort and resources to go regularly to go and spend time with those people in that hotel. I understand these asylum hotels are controversial. It's not straightforward, and I get that. But there's something about living in the river that means, yes, you do experience peace and joy, but not boredom. That's not an excuse for apathy. Not an excuse for not doing anything. Actually, if we really live in the river of God, and by that we mean the river of the Holy Spirit living in us, going through us, tangibly giving ourselves to the life in the Spirit, if we're really doing that, well, actually, there's adventure to be found. There's adventure to be found in the river of God. It's a river of life. I didn't write here a river of boredom. I didn't write here a little brook of safety. It's life how it's meant to be, which means peace and joy and adventure. Amen?
Amen?
Amen, brother and sister. Last bit of this psalm. The God of peace. Let's read these verses. Come and see, says the psalmist, what the Lord has done. The desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and he shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still. Live in peace. Not chaotic sea. Be still. And know that I am God. Isn't those one of the most wonderful words in Scripture? Just accept he's God. Mark's just spoken to us about obedience, humility, and trust. Another way you could describe those three words is those words. Be still and know that I'm God. You're not God. We're not God. He's in control. I will be exalted among the nations, says the Lord. I will be exalted in the earth. Not I might be, I'm hoping to be, I will be. The Lord Almighty is with us, the final verse. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Just look at that last phrase. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. You've already seen that. We've already had that verse. Verse 7 and 11, it's the same verse repeated twice. The Lord Almighty, that's his powerful name. The God of creation who calms seas and rules nations. The God Almighty is with us. Same as the first verse, isn't it? An ever-present help. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He's the God Almighty and he's the God of Jacob. Jacob was the son of Isaac. Jacob had his name changed to Israel. The God of Jacob reminds us that God's a personal God. Jacob wrestled famously. There's a story in the Bible of Jacob wrestling with God, like a personal nature. He's the God of the universe, and he's the God of Jacob. He's the God of Richard. He's the God of Rosemary. He's the God of Philip. He's the God of Jacob. He's the God of my friend Abdul, who extraordinarily, through providence and sovereignty and world events and people's kindness, God says, I want you to know Jesus to this young man. He's an ever-present help. He's the God of Jacob. So, do we come to an end? We've seen that there's a sea of chaos that speaks of fear and destruction and anxiety, but there's a river of life that has as its source a God of peace. How many of us read as children that famous story, or you read to your children if you're a parent, The Wind in the Willows, with the arrogant toady and the grumpy badger and the sweet little mole and the rat, who famously says, there's nothing like messing about in the river. I'm not sure we're meant to mess about in the river of God, but we are called to live in the river of God. That's our home. The sea is not our home. The river is our home. Place of chaos and anxiety is not our home. I just want to really finish by saying that we're called to live afresh in the river. I just really had this on my heart this morning to say to all of us in the room, let's all get in the river. The river of peace and the river of adventure. We're called to be in this river that brings peace. Maybe you've lost your peace. Does anxiety loom large in your mind? 8 million people suffer from anxiety regularly in the UK. And that's the official statistics. Fear, anxiety is everywhere, isn't it? Be still and know that I am God. This river brings peace. I'd love to pray for anyone this morning who needs to know the peace of God. Not the boredom of God. Peace, the shalom, the everything's okay when you're with God, peace of God. If you suffer from anxiety, we'd love to pray for you. He brings mental peace. He brings physical peace. Mark's already given a word about back pain, physical healing. That's part of living in the river, is that we get to know the physical peace of our bodies when we're walking with God. I'd love to pray for anyone who needs physical healing this morning. It's a river that brings peace. It is, as I've said, a river that brings adventure. Just want to challenge us. Can I just poke us? Prod us? If we're really living in the river, then adventure with Christ should be part of the game. It's not a brook. It's a rushing river. It's not a dangerous sea, but it is a river of adventure. Anybody up for adventure? Mark's given a word this morning about how there's fresh days ahead for you as a church. That God's whittling the church, how he wants it. He's shaping it how he wants to. Not just so it's all nice and cozy, but because there's fresh adventure to come. I think there's fresh adventure for this church in the coming months and the coming years. It's wonderful to hear of what God's been doing in individuals the last few weeks. We rejoice with you. There's a whole lot more adventure to come. And if you're here in a part of this church, you're like, I want to be in part of the adventure. I want to be in on it. Maybe there's some initiatives that you need to take. Maybe you need to be the one who starts an Alpha course yourself. Or you need to take an initiative with your neighbours. Or you need to take an initiative with a charity in the town or something. Something which says, I want to play my part in the adventure. Not settling for a brook, I want a rushing river. Amen? Amen. I wonder if we could finish by, is there a final song we could finish with, Sue? Maybe you could already come and I just want to pray for us. If you're happy for me just to lead in prayer and response. There's a river. There's a river available for everyone who's given their life to Christ. And if you haven't given your life to Christ yet, get in the river. The best place to be. I'd just love to pray for anyone who's suffering from anxiety. We want to pray for the peace of God. Anyone who's up for more adventure, I want to pray for you in that. And if you've never been baptized in the Spirit, if you've never received the gift of the Spirit, actually speaking in tongues is not a gift you've received, or knowing that assurance of the life of the Spirit, we'd love to pray for you. Love to pray that the Holy Spirit would fill you afresh this morning. Why don't you close your eyes and I'm just going to pray. These guys are already going to start just playing. I want you to just bow our heads, close our eyes for a moment. If anxiety is something which, I think the phrase I just used, if it looms large in your life, I just pray for you right now. I want to pray, Lord Jesus, for each individual for whom fear is a real thing. Lord, I pray for the river of God to run through our lives, Lord Jesus. We pray that today would be a day where we look back on it and see, yeah, I was in peace following that day. God did something in my heart, new that day, that put me in the river afresh. Pray for peace to cast out anxiety. Scriptures say, cast your burdens onto Jesus, for he cares for you. Lord, I pray for peace on different individuals' minds this morning. Pray for this river to run through us afresh, Lord. Holy Spirit, come right now, we pray. Come right now, we pray, Holy Spirit. If you say you want to receive more of the Spirit, why don't you just stand? You could stand and open your hands as a physical sign of an inward desire to receive more of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, we desperately need you. It's even written up there, isn't it? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Lord, I pray for freedom this morning. Lord, would you fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit right now, I pray. Lord, as we've got open hands, would you fill our hearts with your Spirit. Shikuri ala baba sanda. Kia da baba sanda. Lord, I pray for healing as well. If you need physical healing, why don't you just raise your hand a little higher and maybe the person next to you will just discreetly start praying for you. They don't even have to know what the problem is. They just can pray for the healing of God. Come right now, Lord, with your physical touch, we pray on our bodies. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Ki ara baba sanda.